Pride has been the downfall of every man, woman, and child. We don't like to be told that we're wrong or what we should do to better ourselves. Nor do we like it when we've done something that we shouldn't have, and then we're confronted about our actions. We then seek excuses to justify ourselves and to lighten the burden of what we carry that's associated with our sinful pride and not-so-subtle arrogance. Pride prevents us from hearing well, and sometimes from hearing at all. In Jeremiah 13, hear and pay attention. Do not be arrogant, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings the darkness, before your feet stumble on the darkening hills. You hope for light, but he will turn it to thick darkness and change it to deep gloom. But if you do not listen, I will weep in secret because of your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, overflowing with tears, because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Jeremiah 13. Gill's Exposition Commentary says, "The advice and exhortation now given, to repent of sin, be humble before God, and is to glorify him." Jeremiah would say, "My soul shall weep in secret places for your pride." He would lament the sins of the people, particularly their pride, which had been the cause of their ruin. For their city and temple would be burnt, and their king, princes, and nobles, and the flower of the nation, carried into Babylon. He said, "My eyes shall weep sore in great abundance," as he wished his eyes might be a fountain of tears to weep night and day over the condition of the nation, and the sorrow of his heart for the distresses of his people and of the certainty of them. Matthew Henry writes of the earlier comment by God in Jeremiah 13, "As the bottle was fitted to hold wine, so the sins of the people made them vessels of wrath, fitted for the judgments of God, with which they should be filled till they caused each other's destruction." The prophet exhorts them to give glory to God by confessing their sins, humbling themselves in repentance, and returning to his service. Otherwise, they would be carried into other countries in all darkness of idolatry and wickedness. All misery, witnessed or foreseen, will affect a feeling mind. But the pious heart must mourn most over the afflictions of the Lord's flock. Church, let not arrogance and pride lead you down a dark road into a path that has been set for you by the evil one. God has called you out of the world. Do not let the world pull you back into its arms by your following the lost, the wicked, and the evil as they travel down a dark path that will lead only to pain and suffering, if not in the body, then in your soul, as you will have tasted the goodness of God, and the battle within you will ignite into a great flaming, raging flame, and you will either give way to the Holy Spirit or fall in line with your sinful nature. You see, God had already given to Israel the warning of what was to come upon her if she did not turn from her wicked ways and seek the Lord God, and many were the times of opportunity that she refused. By refusing, the people would be called to drink from the cup filled with the wrath of God, and they would be given over to suffering the justice that was theirs to bear. They had turned their backs on God and now worshipped and served other gods. And God had told Israel through Jeremiah that every wineskin should be filled with wine. And God then said, if they were to reply to Jeremiah, "Don't we know that every wineskin should be filled with wine?" In other words, pride was answering him. The Lord says, "Tell them, I am going to fill with drunkenness all that live in this land, including the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all those living in Jerusalem. I will smash them one against the other, fathers and sons alike. I will allow no pity or mercy or compassion to keep me from destroying them." You see, they would be turned over to wander the path that they had chosen, and they would walk it with God having full knowledge where it would lead them and the suffering that they would endure in getting to the end of it. What was Israel's sin that was so grievous that God would say to them that enough is enough, and a time of judgment would come upon the nation? Well, the people had forsaken God, and to another they had given the glory and the honor that was God's alone, and as a nation they set a course for a destiny that they would direct and attempt to fulfill, but they would fail at every turn. And in their arrogance they had turned their back on the one who had delivered them from captivity. They had turned away from the one who had protected them, who gave to them all they needed and sustained them daily, who had fought for them. And they in turn had worshipped other gods, gods having neither breath nor life in them. And she, the people, the nation of Israel, had struck at the hand that had pulled them out of slavery, out of bondage. And they had said, "We would rather be bound, to be a slave, to be captives." Pride will prevent one from listening well and sometimes from listening at all. We witnessed at the State of the Union recently a dark representation of prideful hearts and a lacking of empathy and of sound reasoning. It was a display revealing no courtesy or kindness, disrespect, and the lack of self-control. And this from a people who have been given great privilege and even greater responsibility. And as a whole, their considerations were not for life and liberty, justice and freedom. They were not standing for the inalienable, God-given rights that the people of this nation are to be governed by, rather, by their prideful and arrogant behavior. They reveal to us what the truth of their hearts is. They are so consumed with their cause and their prideful attitude that they could not even find for a moment any happiness at the celebration of those who have tragically and senselessly lost young children, and who, being blessed, overcame the obstacles that had been presented to them in their lives. Ah, what we saw was a group of people fighting for the darkness to cover the land, and fighting against the light that seeks to free all men, fighting against God. It is dreadful for the person who willfully shows such contempt at the idea of celebrating anything godly. Do any of them profess to be children of God? If they do, then they know nothing of Him, because if they did, they would not fight for the things that they do, and righteousness would be the banner under which they would stand. They would not fight for the continuation of murdering babies in their mothers' wombs. Nor would they fight for the mutilation of young children, children who are not old enough to understand that they are being groomed and directed to live a make-believe life. Nor would they tell someone that they do not have to live as God intended them to be, that they can be something entirely different, even though there is no possible way in any reality to accomplish their projected goal. Where we are today is where Israel was in Jeremiah's day. You see, when we do not speak against such atrocious things, it is as though we agree with them. And then of us it can be said that it is not just the leaders of the nation that turned their backs to God. It was the nation. It was the people. And we now have then the blind leading the blind, the lost gathering the strays for slaughter. We have been split into groups by design, multiple groups. And we no longer have a common background. Many come here from other nations, and they come into the fold by climbing fences, burrowing in tunnels. They literally sell their soul to the devil's henchmen, to the cartels, so that they may come. There is no regard for the laws of men or of God. But who or what you are or what you do, the one thing that all people have in common is that unless they confess their sin to God, unless they repent, turn from their ungodly and unrighteous ways, coming clean about what they have done, unless they call upon the name of Jesus, they will only enjoy the temporary here today and suffer the eternal tomorrow. Church, don't be found to be supporting their folly or standing out in the street with them, believing and calling upon false gods and calling the innocent to unrighteousness. Turn and give your own life back to Jesus. Accept fully His gift of salvation and invite Him in again to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. Darkness will consume the prideful and the arrogant. God will allow it to get our attention. Israel suffered greatly for her arrogance. The people knew that they were God's chosen people, but they failed to understand the privilege and the responsibility that came with that calling. The people knew right from wrong, but comfort and convenience, pride, greed, and power had won the day. You see, God will not be mocked, nor will He share His glory. Matthew Henry writes, "It is our wisdom to give glory to Him and so make our peace with Him, to fly to His mercy, and then there will be no occasion to fly from His justice." And so, I ask you today, are you running from or running to God? Christian, church, judge not the condition of the nation, but look inward. Look at yourself. You see, God will judge us as a nation while we are one, but we will not stand together on Judgment Day. There we will each stand before the Lord and give an account for the things we did, the things we said, and for what we believed, and who we placed our trust and hope in. For many, what a dreadful day that will be as they hear the Lord Jesus say to them, "Away from me, I never knew you." Weep for the church. She is broken, and she has lost her first love and is today being taken captive. You see, pride will prevent one from listening well, and sometimes from listening at all.